You've arrived here at a critical moment. Tune in on real self-knowledge and creative power.
Welcome to the Well Fit with Lockie Stewart podcast. This show aims to help men improve themselves physically, mentally, and emotionally, covering topics of fitness, mindfulness, and spirituality.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Vision Health podcast series. My name is Matt Cameron. I'm an accredited exercise physiologist with Vision Exercise Physiology. And again, I'm joined by Mike Usher.
G'day everybody.
Welcome back. We've had a little bit of a hiatus, not purposely. We've just been away on holidays and Mike's been winning silver medals at Pan Pacs in basketball. So we could almost call this season two for our podcast series. Today we're lucky enough to be joined by Lockie Stewart. So Lockie's a guy that both Mike and I know personally. We've worked with him over the last 10 years. Lockie is currently heavily involved in men's health coaching. He is the CEO and founder of Lockie Stewart Coaching. So Lockie, do you just want to say g'day, thanks for joining us, and give everyone a bit of an overview of who you are and what you're doing?
Hey guys, well thanks for having me on. It's cool that we're having almost like a reunion as well, because I think it's been about 6 years since we all parted ways from Toowoomba, which is cool. So it's good to see everyone's smiling faces and see where everyone's at. Yeah, so I think since we last met, I'm excited, as we were just talking about before, that you guys are the first official podcast I've had with people who knew me before my personal development journey. So you'll be able to bring up all the dirty secrets that may or may not have been exposed. So a bit about myself, like over the past 6 years, I had, you know, a heap of wake up calls. I realized that I was super unhappy with who I was as a person, where I was at in my life. I was lacking fulfillment, but I was constantly chasing things that I, you know, now to me don't really make any sense, right? I was making a lot of bad decisions, getting up to a lot of trouble, and definitely pissing a lot of people off, including my parents. And it was one night, what's a nightclub in Toowoomba called again? Agenda?
I mean, one of many, but...
Yeah. Yeah, there was an incident that happened there that was the biggest wake-up call to me at that point. And it was not long after that, the sort of started hanging out in Brisbane a bit more, met my now partner, and that was sort of the lifeline that I needed to be able to really break away and change my habits, change my environment, and ultimately become a better version of myself, because I always knew deep down all the bad decisions that I was making, they just didn't feel right. But because of the environment that I was in, they were supported and they were, you know, often cheered upon by the boys. So it never really clicked as to why it didn't make sense until I got down to Brisbane and saw that there was actually a different way of doing things, and who I ultimately was at that point in time wasn't who I needed, like had to be. So that's when I started sort of personal development journey, and a guy up in Toowoomba, actually Tommy Crockett. I don't know if you guys, he's the own Healthworks.
Yeah, I haven't seen Tommy for a long time, yeah.
The gym. He gave me a book. I've seen it for about a year, but he gave me a book called The Four Agreements, which is the most boring read I've ever had to read in my life, but completely changed my life. And that was what ultimately, you know, sent me to start reading more, believed I could be a different person, change my, you know, friends group, and not because I disliked my friends, it was just that we were going in different directions. And then I moved my life down to Brisbane and have been just, you know, evolving ever since. And it was sort of in the last 2 years that a lot of people have been reaching out to me through social media and being like, oh, how have you done this? How have you done that? That I then ended up in, I guess, coaching. And one of the biggest, I guess, realizations that held me back is that I wasn't self-aware as to why I wasn't feeling aligned with a lot of the decisions that I was making. I didn't value my health. So a lot of the time I never had control of my mindset because I was, you know, drinking on drugs and just not looking after my body. So now I've sort of combined both of it, and I'm really passionate about showing, especially men, that, you know, if you look up your physiology, it looks up your psychology and vice versa. So that's where we're at now.
So it's an amazing journey that you've been through. I've seen bits and pieces on all the social platforms. You're a bit of a beast on social media. It's been interesting, though, that you talk about, you know, not looking after your you know, your health and mindset and whatnot. I was just looking through the stats for men's health, and we're an interesting beast, old men. 3 in 5 rate their health as very good or excellent, yet 1 in 2 have a chronic disease, 1 in 2 have a mental health problem. It's interesting that we're not very perceptive in our own health journeys as men.
Yeah, it's disappointing. And I think a lot of the conversations I have, and one of the biggest thing that comes up, I would have at least 5 people reach out to me through Instagram every day, males, just lost, stuck, and have no idea what's going on. And even in the last month, I've had 2 more mates commit suicide. And like, I haven't been as close to them since I've left Toowoomba, but like, you see all this stuff happening, and there's a lot more awareness now, which is awesome, but we still aren't being given the skills to, 1, cope with what's going on ourselves. Like, we don't have the awareness to understand what our emotions are, which is why like, I'm massive on educating people around emotional intelligence, but then also as blokes being able to understand how to communicate to our mates so that they actually feel like they can really open up to us. Because and not just crediting Are You Okay Day, I think it's awesome that people jump on the bandwagon, but what you notice is just 1 day a year. Right. And then if I were to turn around to you, Mikey, if you were to say, Are you okay, mate? And I turned around and said, mate, I'm fucking thinking about the neck of myself. Most of us wouldn't know how to respond to that. And then all of a sudden I've opened up to you, and now, you know, you aren't going to be able to help me. So now I feel worse off. Right. So I think, you know, there are a few things that we need to look at, but with the statistics, it's like, we need to start being taught this stuff because the numbers are so appalling. So we get taught a lot of stuff at school, but we don't get taught how to look after ourselves. And a lot of the time we don't get taught how to make money, which is, you know, 2 of the biggest stresses. We get stressing over how people, you know, comparison and where we sit in the social ladder or the monetary ladder, and then financial stress. 2 of the biggest things that are knocking us blokes off, because we need to be the alpha male that supports our families and all the other stuff that goes on with that.
Yeah, so, that's exactly right, Lockie. I think historically, us as blokes, we've really sucked at being able to communicate our feelings, our emotional and mental health. But there's probably some deep-seated psychology stuff behind that. Like, if we look back historically, blokes have been the provider for their family. They've been the strong one. They're all that, not to say women aren't strong, but it's that deep psychological image blokes typically portray themselves in. And I think it's a lot better now with a lot of the promotions they do with men's mental health and Movember and those sort of things. It is improving, but it needs so much more work. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, it's definitely, as you said, like, there's a lot more people getting behind it. And, you know, social media in itself, and just on a bit of a tangent, is one of the greatest things, but it's also, you know, works in both ways depending on how you use it. For people who understand that it's a tool, I'm picking up my phone here for those who are listening and showing it to the screen. It's like, it's an incredible tool for us to, you know, share, educate, and inspire people and get the message out there. Because, you know, 10, 15 years ago, to even hear about something like Movember or Are You Okay Day, we would have had to been using, you know, an letter drop or something. I can't even remember what we used to do back then.
Pigeons, mate. Yeah. These little carrier guys. Yeah.
Pigeons. Now I can just get online and find someone who inspires me and just follow their stuff, and we're good to go, you know. So everything's done at the touch of a button. But, you know, on the polar opposite, I can turn this on and constantly see people living the dream, or, you know, not feeling like I'm living a certain life, which makes me feel shit in itself. So that's, you know, social media is a completely different thing. But if we teach people how to be self-aware, go back to finding out who they really are, we can understand that, you know, hey, I can manage my emotions when I see this super ripped dude who's even musclier than I, or this guy who has a better moustache than me, which might make me feel like I'm not, you know, alpha
male. That's impossible. That's impossible.
Absolutely impossible with that thing that's on your face, mate. Looks like a slug.
For everyone that can't see Lockie at the moment, we'll try and put a picture up for the cover of this podcast because it's so impressive. You've just got to check it out.
Yeah, still.
But Lockie, I'm interested, like, for someone like yourself that has a really strong social media presence and you've got a lot of platforms that you're on, do you get much negative criticism? Like, do people ever just have a crack at you and just say, oh, what's this guy all about? Or is there, from your end, is there a lot of negative stuff there as well? Because we know it can be so great and so positive, but I'm interested about the other way.
Yeah, It's yeah, definitely. You get, because people can hide behind it, right? Like, if I could say all the things in the world I want to you guys, and I'll never bump into you in the street, so I'm never going to have that initial fear. But unfortunately, when we're receiving it, we take it as if you're standing right in front of my face, right? So, and I see it because my partner, she cops a heap. Like, and you just read some of the stuff, and you're like, are you kidding me? Why would anyone, for one, take the time to write something like that? But two, what's the point? Like, so there's a lot of criticism. I get a lot of stuff. Like, I had one, my most recent 6 months ago, which was pretty bad, where someone was like, oh, look, he's full of shit. Like, he can't change. You can't change. Like, this is what he was like 6 years ago in Toowoomba, which that, when I heard this, that she was saying this to someone else, I was like, that's exactly what I was like 6 years ago. And I tell everyone, like, it's part of my story, but you can change. The reason why a lot of people don't change is because they don't believe you can, or we're worried about what people are going to say about us. So copying that is like, now I understand and I'm aware, like, yeah, it still doesn't make you feel great, but often it's a reflection of something that's going on in their life. Like, they might look at, and I'll use myself as an example, like, you guys have seen where I was and maybe where I am now, and it's like, well, how the fuck has he done this? Why I haven't changed anything in my life? And I'm not saying that in an arrogant way, but like, people, that's what comes up. And it happens, I do it to people as well. Like, I don't actively rage at people or anything like that, but I might look at them and have that moment where I'm like, fuck, how'd they get there? I should have done something like that. They got lucky, or, you know, whatever you want to say about them. So it's just that moment of anger, rage, whatever you want to call, jealousy, whatever it is, but it's an emotion. So I understand that it's not personal. It's just like, you know, that journey that I've been on that I wish I had as well, if that makes sense.
So the typical male, mate, that you coach at the moment, like, are they all presenting with a fairly similar story, or, and what's your process?
Yep. The most common thing is just lack of identity. Like, blokes literally have no idea who they are. Like, and I don't work with, I mainly work with corporate, like, so like 6 and 7 figure income earners, and they're just as messed up as like me or I was, right? There's no, doesn't matter how much money you've got or what, it's the common thing is like, people don't understand their identity. So when we go back to understand our identity, and I'll draw this out for myself so I don't miss stuff, it's like, Lockie, 5 years ago, taking drugs, drinking, womanizing, doing a heap of shit that never felt good. I kept doing it because the environment that I was in would be like, yeah, Lockie, you've got another one on the belt. Or so loose last night, or if I messed up, I could say, oh, it wasn't me, I was drunk. Or if I'm drunk or high, it's the one time that I can actually speak my emotions. Right, so that was encouraged. I continue to do that, which is what a lot of blokes do now, whether you're a 6 and 7 figure income earner or you're just a lad who's hanging out with the footy boys. We're still doing the same shit, right? Because we're trying to figure it all out, but because we can't, or it's too confronting, or the environment doesn't support that, we just go back to drugs, alcohol, aggression, addiction, whatever it is, right? So then when lads come to me, the process generally is like, who are you? Which is a big question in itself. But then you can say, okay, show me your habits, right? So most places, like, oh, I'm working 9 to 5 in a job that I don't like, which is normal, which is fine. Once again, because you're doing this for a reason, most people to support some kind of lifestyle. Then on the weekend, it's drink, repeat the same process, send back. So it's just that rat race. So then you're stuck with unfulfillment, meaninglessness, that was a bit of a stutter, right? And unhappiness. So to fill the void, I then strip that back, and it's understanding, okay, well, what things, or what are you doing, drinking alcohol for? And I can use myself as a perfect example, or chasing the dream of football. What am I womanizing for? All those things come back to what values I'm trying to get, right? Fulfill. So if you look, let me bring this up on my phone. I don't know if you guys can see that, but on my screensaver is my 6 personal core values. And the reason why I have them there is because I want to be reminded of them, but it's health, happiness, integrity, growth, appreciation, and adventure, right? So at the time when I was doing all that sort of crap, I was chasing, once again, appreciation, but I was getting that from women, right, in a way that wasn't necessarily a positive way, right? So I was still searching for different means. And same with health. Like I was hitting the gym, but I was also hitting piss quite hard. And then happiness, like I was finding happiness through being high or being the loosest lad on the piss or whatever it was when I got that recognition. Integrity didn't even exist to me back then. And adventure was literally whatever Saturday night brought. So I was still meeting those values, but just in a different way. So once we, you know, have that conversation with people to find out what they're trying to get out of what they're currently doing, what feels good for them, right, in terms of what they value, then we can show them how to get that in different, more positive or impactful ways in their lifestyle, right? And generally, you never want to get that from materialistic or external things. That's why I go back to the value. So say, for example, adventure. Most people might think, oh, let's go on a massive holiday around the world, but you can't always afford a holiday and timing doesn't work out well. And you guys have both got children, so you know there's external factors stopping that. So an adventure could literally be me playing hide and go seek somewhere, right? Like literally, I'm just looking for that feeling of adventure, right? So when people break it down, you realize, hey, it's actually not that fucking complex to be happy, to find meaning in life. And that's what realistically, and obviously it's easier said than done going through that process, but that's where I try to get people. Like, so Miles, who I did my last podcast with, really, really successful businessman, but never had a diary. When we did his 10-year vision 8 months ago, it was all materialistic possessions and a lot of the stuff he could already do and afford, right? Now we've just redone it, or we didn't even need to redo it. He's like, mate, I need to, he's just texting me right now too. He's redone it by himself and like, look, mate, I don't have any materialistic possessions that I want on here. Like, obviously they're going to be good, but this is what I want. A tight-knit family, you know, good relationships, be fit and healthy. Like all this stuff's completely changed, right? Just from identifying what his true core values are. So that was a big tangent, but yeah, with most people, it's like lacking understanding who they are, their identity, and then self-awareness around how to get that. Because often the environment that we're adopted into or grow up into, so you guys would have seen the environment I was sort of in. You guys were a part of it, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But there were certain people in my environment that definitely weren't good for where I wanted to go. They served a purpose and they were fun at the time. But if I had just stuck around in that, like, who knows what I would have been doing? I'd probably have 5 kids. I'm not saying that's a bad thing either, but I'm not ready for 5 kids. I can't even shave my mustache yet. So that came about because that was what I was lacking. I was lacking understanding about who I was and what actually made me feel good. And now it's like, now that I understand what serves a purpose in my life, it makes it so much easier to say yes to things and no to things, because I'm like, is that going to fulfill a value? If not, no point doing it, because I don't want to be busy. I want to be productive and happy and, you know, do things that are actually meaningful.
For a two-letter word, no is a very interesting word, isn't it? It's hard to say.
Which one?
No.
For
a two-letter word.
It's and that once again goes back to like, oh, how am I going to make this person feel? It's not personal. It's like, doesn't matter. But I'm, and even though I say all that, I still find it hard to say no sometimes as well. But yeah, so that's literally the process. And obviously, for me, a lot of the reason, like I had another guy, and I'll just keep talking until you guys tell me to shut up. But I had another guy reach out to me the other day, and his biggest struggle is like he feels like he's got so much more purpose and meaning. And every time he starts making a few positive steps forward, right, it's the rugby crowd, right? My personal experience, and this is just a broad view with the rugby crowd, is like it wasn't a very positive environment for me. I had a lot of binge drinking, talking about women, and nothing really. Like, I love cherishing memories and stuff, but a lot of the time it wasn't helping me improve as a person. And that's what he's stuck with at the moment. And that, once again, comes back to all of the, I believe, finding your values so you know what to say yes to and know what to say no to, because that's what, why I found it easy to just walk away from, you know, Toowoomba and friend groups and stuff without even feeling remorseful, was because I was like, right, I need to fulfill this, this, and this if I want to achieve this, this, and this. There's no second guessing. It's just take action on it.
So what about the role of physical activity and exercise? Like, obviously we know there's a strong link between physical health and mental health, but how much do you focus on physical health in your work and with the clients that you see?
Everyone has to do it. Like, I won't work with you unless you're exercising in some form, because most people feel like lacking self-esteem and self-confidence because they don't feel good about their body or they don't feel strong as a male, right? So we're, and once again, this is just talking to men. So if they're not moving and if they're not feeling good, and if you don't have the confidence in yourself to do daily tasks, whether it be run a kilometer, pick up or squat your body weight, do stuff like that, like, how are you going to have the confidence to say no to stuff? It's not going to work. And if you're, you know, you guys know that when you move and exercise, even if you don't feel like it after, you get just this massive endorphin rush where you're feeling so good. So if I can get people doing that, and most people, just for well-being, is like, let's just fit this into the morning and use it as a part of your morning routine, even if it's 20-minute circuit. Doesn't have to be huge. If you're not training to be an athlete, just train to move and improve one aspect at a time. Right, so I won't work for people unless they're focusing on health and fitness, and it has to be from a holistic standpoint. So when I was training back with you guys at or when I was at the gym at Willows, I was literally just doing beach muscles. Didn't ever focus on mobility, didn't focus on breathing, didn't focus on even just really functional movements. Whereas now that's a part of everything we want, because for most, you know, people, and let's look at men, it's like when they're 60, 70 years old, you still want to be able to run around with your kids or your grandkids and do all that sort of stuff. That's what it's about. I don't work with athletes. Like, I'm not interested in training someone to be a professional athlete. It's just like, from a holistic standpoint, let's get your mind and body sorted so that when you're 70 and 80, you're just as sharp and as inspired and happy as you are when you're, you know, 10 years old and you don't have any stress of life happening.
It almost sounds like, it's a form of maintenance, Lockie, or like servicing. Say you look after your car, you service it regularly, it functions better. The same sort of stuff you're applying here to your body. You're doing the right activities for your brain. You're looking after your body really well. And obviously we know that functions better as a result. So yeah, it's pretty cool stuff you're working with.
100%. And one thing I think we haven't touched on was just that it's like you're trying to maintain your mind and body just like you do with the car, but most of us will never do the work. Like, people will always go to the gym, right? They're happy to put the work in because they want the physical result most of the time. Most people aren't ever training, even for rehab, right? You probably see you give people rehab and 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, they don't stick to it and they wonder why they can't function properly. It's the people who actually stick to the rehabilitation that end up moving freely and properly again. And it's the same with the mind. Like, if you've got challenges, if you're unhappy, you're uncertain, you're unfulfilled, you're doing all this sort of stuff, it's like a beam or red light going, hey, we got some work to do. You might nail it the first time, but let's address the area, start working on, you know, how do you find happiness? Who, you know, that's different for every person, but you're not going to know unless you start working on that area.
There's a massive shift in the in some of the rehab side of things now, for that mental aspect, you know, the physical rehabilitation from a work cover patient, for example, returning to work, they might be physically fine, but mentally they're not ready, they're not feeling strong enough. So there is a massive shift in the marketplace, I think, on that mental capability and return to work or return to function, return to life.
Yeah, it's like you look at I helped a lady lose 60 kilos, I think, 2 years ago. And she was so worried, like, in her mind, she was still that 180 kilo lady. So everything she did, she was like trying to continue to starve herself and do all this because she was worried if she had one chip, for example, she'd go back to 180 kilos. And I assume it's probably the same with when you're rehabilitating with the, you know, bum knee or whatever. But the whole point of following rehabilitation, whether it's physical rehabilitation or mental rehabilitation, is to get you back to 100%.
You're 110.
Thanks, man. Is this my extra 10?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we put a big marker on it. The idea, if you come and see us, is, you know, you can come in from an ACL reco. Yeah, the idea is you're going to be stronger upon the exit of the work that we do with you. We don't want you back to the same level.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, everyone who's even listening to this or should always think is, like, as soon as you get back to a point, you don't ever want to. And that's what people say to me is, like, aren't you sick of training? It's like, I'm never sick of training because there's always something to learn or always something to build on. I don't train. Being able to compete is a byproduct of what I do. Like, I still listen to my body, and if my body's not, you know, if I'm feeling mentally fatigued, I'll go do a sauna ice bath. I still put my long-term health ahead of competing. And people lose interest in the gym or rehabilitation because they don't understand the long-term benefits of it all. It's like, if you can, because people are proving it now. Like, there's, I saw a video on YouTube of like a 90 or 80 year old dude back squatting like 60 kilos or something. So the belief that we have that once we're 60 or 50, we're stuffed is dead. And it's like people like you guys who are helping people start, you know, with injuries and stuff, get back to moving properly. But if they're not bringing their mind with that, and then, you know, obviously from that, when people finish with you guys, because you do an awesome job and getting them back to 100%, it's like, it's then on them to take ownership to be like, righto, you're moving free, but let's try and continually progress, because progress equals happiness, which equals motivation as well. But if you just say, righto, my knee's recovered, I'm just going to go back to the old bad habits I had, you're going to continue to regress and probably get injured again.
Yeah, we'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah, good business model, but
yeah,
I don't want to see people in 6 months.
No, exactly right. It was interesting down at Pampax for the Masters game, and I was down there playing basketball over 30s, but the range, so 30s, 35s, 40s, 45s, all the way up to, there was a 70s to 70s comp.
Really?
Yeah. And so, watch, and I always thought it was interesting that the competitive side of would leave you at some point in time, that you weren't, but seeing these 70 guys get up and down the court, get aggressive, you know, there's some heated conversations. I was surprised, actually. I was like, nah, I'll lose that competitive drive one day. But after seeing these guys run around on court, it clearly doesn't leave your system.
At the end of the day, age is just a number, Mikey. We see that in our clinic work as well. Like, we see 70-year-old people that are stronger and healthier than 35 or 40-year-old people. It's how you look after yourself. We know that.
100%. 100%. How's your body holding up, Mikey, with the ankles and the knees?
Yeah, look, it's still together. Now, the knee's actually been pretty good. Been on the bike a fair bit leading up pre-Pampax.
Yep.
It was a big week, though, playing a game a day. Haven't done that for a long time. But thought it'd be a lot sorer than what it is. So, yeah, a lot of swelling, but back into training yesterday. So, had a week. Yeah, just over a week off. And yeah,
that's solid, though. And it's cool as well for you, like, with a young family, to be taking the time to actually still do sport as well. Because, like, people think once, we always put all that sort of stuff on the back burner, which is why I feel we deteriorate, if that's what you want to call it, like, go downhill so quickly, because it's like, oh, my role now is not to have fun and be competitive and stuff anymore. I got to be the provider. And then, you know, family time or whatever else.
Yeah, I felt selfish, actually. So when Emzy, when we first had Addy, the 12 months after she was born, I was playing soccer at that point, stopped playing soccer to be at home. So, you know, two training sessions a week, game on the weekend. I was like, no, I can't do that. That's not fair. And so for 12 months, I basically did work and that was it.
I'd love to hear both your opinion on this then. So, and I can't comment because I don't have kids, but I feel when people get in a relationship, you just mentioned you felt selfish, but isn't, because you're going to be with your partners for the rest of your life, right? So you've got time.
Oh, yeah.
To and this is something I see, like, for example, with a lot of the older men that I work with, they've put so much on the backbone because they won't feel selfish, et cetera. But it's like, in a relationship, if everyone works together and you want to have the females or the wives to do the exact same thing and still pursue a passion, because there's nothing more exciting than seeing, you know, I love it when Amy gets back and she's been on tour and talking about all of that. I'm like, ah, this is awesome. Like, you're ambitious, you're driven, like, there's some cool stuff happening in your life. You haven't just become the identity of a mum, for example, and once again for dad, like, you don't want to just have the identity of a dad where it's like, my role is this. It's like, you're still Mikey and you're still Maddie, and, you know, as a part of your identity, you love playing ball, you love doing this, this, and this, and this. And if we put that on the back burner, it's like it builds up.
And I was in a dark place towards the end of the 12 months. It was quite interesting. And then it was at a Australia Day party at the start of, must have been the start of this year. I went back to the ball. Yeah, one of the boys is like, hey, mate, do you want to, we're short, our team sucks, which
you're welcome.
Yeah, can you come back? And that's sort of got what ended up getting back into it and just changed the whole outlook of everything. So there wasn't, it was a pretty dark spot there towards the end of last year just because I didn't have that outlet.
And that right there is the perfect example of a freaking awesome mate. Like, even though he might have intentionally known you're in a bad spot, but like just being a good fucking human and being like, hey, man, and this is good for young dads, especially. It's like if you're a young dad who's listening to this, that has started putting your hobbies on the back burner to play dad, obviously be the best dad you can be, but you're going to be a better dad if you're showing your kid how to live and continue pursuing your passions and hang out with your mates and do all that sort of stuff, because you're going to come home a lot more enthused than someone who's been suppressed, because it's like, I feel like I shouldn't be having fun. I feel guilty. So your mate who said come play ball, like, completely changed your life.
Yeah, a lot of it was because they were losing and they just wanted to get a few wins, but take it for what it is, right?
Yeah, take it. Exactly. But that's it's had a really good thing to show people that, like, all you needed was just to get back to doing something you love.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And everything changed for you. And then the boys probably started winning games as well.
Couple.
Were you dropping trees?
Trying.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So what about the elephant in the room then? Like, we all know young guys and some girls, but mainly young guys that have taken their own life through suicide because they've struggled that much with their mental health.
Male is three times more likely, I think.
Yeah, the stats are there. So it's it's becoming more prevalent as well. But as people in the health industry, what do you think we can do that can help? Or is there any advice we can give to people in the community that can improve the identification of people struggling or how they manage it better?
Yeah, I think, and this is from my own experience, so part of my story is, like, my brother suffered, and it was actually at Willows, and I've asked his permission to share this, but, like, there was a time when he tried to take his life, and I was at Willows working, and I had to be like, Craig, is Craig still managing at Willows?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, what a legend, such a good dude. I had to shoot off home because my brother was obviously in a bit of strife, and for me at that time, and this is from someone who hadn't struggled with mental health issues at this point in time, I was just like, you fucking selfish bastard. Like, I was driving home and all I wanted to do was punch his head in. Like, so I was going there with that point of view. So for people who are standing on the outside watching someone struggling who may have gone through that and you're holding anger towards them, it's just like, let it go, because it's definitely not going to help them. And people say, how can someone get to that point where you're going to take your own life? It's like, you don't know until you experience it, because there's a chemical imbalance as well. And when, like, if anyone's done drugs before, you know how much that fucks with you. That's chemical imbalance, right? So you can't just think that it's all mind and stuff. Like, there's a whole heap of stuff going wrong. So when you go back to then how to handle it with people, like, if I could have, like, I saw my brother go from, like, here to being, like, the popular guy to just deteriorate, and I didn't give a shit. So one thing I would do, and this is once again from my own personal experience, I'm not a bloody psychologist or anything like that, is I would care. Like, if you see people going down, genuinely give a shit. Like, make time to just listen to them. Don't just be like, oh, I'll wait till Are You Okay Day and we'll talk then. So give them time. That's the most important thing. Even if no words are spoken, you just sit there with someone, like, that means more to someone than anything. Because eventually they're going to be like, fuck, he actually is here for something. Like, he's going to sit here and listen to me. Right? And then, so when my brother went through that, and then I went and came back, and like my whole lack of identity, like, I was taking that many drugs that I was never intentionally like, I want to take my life, but I was taking enough to be like, I don't care if I don't really wake up, right? So from that standpoint, what I was looking for was like, I was just fucking wish someone had told me how to figure out my own shit. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do now, because there's probably so many people who aren't intentionally like, I want to take my life, but I guarantee they're probably drinking themselves silly, doing shit that could get them in trouble because they're like, it doesn't fucking matter, like I've got nothing else. When in reality is like, all I ever wanted 6 years ago was just someone to be like, Lockie, you're better than this, you can just go this way. That's all I wanted. Right, so from my own experiences, and I can only speak on my experiences, like one, from like dealing with my brother, it would be to just sit there and listen and actually give time. That's the most valuable commodity someone could ever give you, right? And then from me, it's like if I see people, like I do so many free like meetings. I got a meeting with a guy tomorrow because I went around to his house Saturday morning. He was high as a kite and reminded me exactly of myself. And so it's like, I'm no charge. Like, I just want to sit down with you and help you. Like, because it's the most valuable thing you can ever give someone. And I want to just show him, because I'm going to, he doesn't know my story, but like there's so many relatable points to be like, look, man, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. Right, you can move through it. One of the guys, I don't know if you guys saw my young bull, old bull thing I was doing with Sean O'Gorman. And so he was a guy, I wrote a book on PTSD. He was going to, like sitting in bed with a Glock, going to kill himself. And so even someone who is that low has completely transformed his life purely because, you know, obviously a lot of personal development, but people have showed him that he can go a different way. But if you don't know, like I was lost for so long. And that once again is relatable to what I spoke on before with you guys. Is like if you fall into that identity that this is my dad, this is the role of a dad, everything else doesn't matter. Like you guys saw when I was trying to pursue rugby. I was like, as soon as that was gone, I was like, fuck, now what? I have no idea.
And they're hard conversations to have, Lockie. And that's something that, again, people really shy away from. If it's difficult, they'll tend not to do it or they'll steer clear of it. But whereas if you can go in and speak to someone, like you mentioned before, are you okay? That you ask someone, are they okay? And they say, oh, not really. Instead of just fobbing it off, you can actually listen and actually try and talk to them about it and see how you can help. It's engaging more in those difficult conversations and really helping people through it. One of the best things I did, not as only as a provider, but as someone in the general community, was actually did one of the mental health first aid courses.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a few hours on your weekend, and they are awesome. The amount of skills that they give you from that and being able to help people in a crisis situation and identify signs that someone is struggling, invaluable. So I'd fully recommend that to anyone, not just a health provider, but teachers, parents, anyone that has an interest in caring for people, really. Yeah, go and check it out.
Yeah, that's an incredible course. That's awesome that you've done that. But it's literally going back to the difficult conversations, like they are, and there's going to be, no one likes that awkward pause, you know, like we had like a couple of minutes ago where it was awkward. It's just, there's nothing going on. It's like, there's going to be many awkward conversations where you're like, shit, did I say the right thing, the wrong thing? What's going on? Like, but you got to let that pause happen. And you don't just talk to fill space. Like you just let them be the first person to talk, because the more difficult conversation will be when you get a phone call saying such and such has just killed himself, or you know, you have to tell, you know, pass that message on. That's way more difficult. I've had too many of those fucking phone calls and stuff to want to do that anymore. And I'm sure most men know someone who's done it.
So the wheels are turning. We just need to continue the good work we're doing within our little bubbles to make sure it does get better and better. And we can help people in our circle and in our little worlds. But yeah, as a wider population of men and as Australians and all the groups we fit in, we just need to continue the good work.
Yeah, it's just a ripple effect. And to everyone listening, it's like the person who's going to have the most influence on a certain person is going to be the people who are closest to it. I know it doesn't feel like it, but like someone listening, you know, some random person struggling would find it easier. more challenging to confide in me, a random dude with a dirty moustache, than one of their closest mates if you do the work right now. It's like me saying to you, Maddie, let's go do an Ironman. It's next week. And you're like, man, I haven't trained. It's the same with, like, if you want me to open up to you, and it's like, let's build deep connected relationships from now. You don't need to just be drunk or high to do it. It's like, put the work in. That's what a fucking relationship is. And it works for a male-female relationship, but also with your mates. Like, it's not just about beers, footy, and cricket. What's really going on?
And it also doesn't have to be the lowest person in the room either. Sometimes it's the outspoken, eccentric guy that can be struggling.
Yeah, 100%. It's literally like, it's hard to know. That's why you just treat everyone equally. Like, give everyone the same amount of time.
So anyone listening there, mate, that looks or wants to, you know, that's looking at themselves and going, you know what, I need to make a change. Top three books that you'd give them?
Oh, books, 100%. Yeah, I love books.
Yeah, which ones?
Yo, Web.
Sorry, mate, you just froze out there for a second. So,
am I back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sure. The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. It's that real boring book I mentioned earlier, but read it. Trust me, get through it. You'll enjoy it. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I don't know if you guys have read that one. That one I read every year. I've read it 6 or 7 times now. But that one's good purely just to learn how to communicate properly. Like, points of communication, which is why so many, like, communication is the key to everything. Everything. So, lads, if you want to be a better mate, just learn to communicate better. Learn to listen better. That's the best book all time. Keep rereading it, because I guarantee you'll learn a heap, but then you won't implement it. I still don't implement so much of it.
I think you got to hear or read things 7 times before it actually sinks in. So you got to read it one more time, mate. You'll be good.
I'm average. And then I've just read a new book, which I've found is hands down one that I'm going to give to all my clients, which is Man's Search for Meaning. And it's by, that's right there, it's by Viktor Frankl, I think. Honest opinion on that book, though, I found the first sort of 100 pages a bit boring, but then it gets into some juicy stuff at the end. But don't skip to the end. Like, it all has its place. But they're probably 3 of the best, like, books that I recommend to people all the time for, like, mental well-being, improving quality of life.
What about anyone that wants to engage with you personally, Lockie? How do they find you? Where do they look to get in touch with you?
Main one is, well, actually, I got a website. It's LockieStewartCoaching.net. I keep forgetting I have a website because I just mainly use Instagram, but more people are in the business world, we need a website. So I got a website, LockieStewartCoaching.net, but also on Instagram at LockieStewart, or my podcast is Well Fit with Lockie Stewart.
I love the names. The names is just our original. Just nailed that.
Remember when we were laughing before about the names, how it's like, oh, Lockie Stewart Coaching, how original. Well Fit was something I was playing around with because I was trying to get fancy, but I just realized it was lame. But it stuck. So, yeah, Well Fit, that's where my podcast. But you can literally find everything on my my website. It's linked to my Instagram, my podcast, everything like that.
Yeah, cool. That should be easy to find. Righto, thanks, Lockie, for joining us, mate. That was really, really awesome. Thanks so much for sharing your story and all your experience in this industry. It was invaluable. Hopefully anyone that listens to it will pick up heaps out of that. We'll catch up with you later, Lockie. But everyone else, thank you. We will definitely be back next week, and we'll talk to you then.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.